Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget, on Twitter, we're collecting your responses to the question, how hot is it? Use the hashtag, it's so hot that, and the handle, at Brian Lehrer. We'll read some of your answers on the air and retweet some as well. There's definitely a theme emerging about the mayor and the drinks. It's so hot that, wait a minute, where is it? Okay, here's some riffs on that. It's so hot, says Adam, that Mayor Bloomberg downed several big gulps, chased them with a Slurpee, then had himself hosed down with Coca-Cola. Ruby Beth writes, it's so hot that Bloomberg is drinking 6 10-ounce sugary drinks, legal on his subway ride to work. It's so hot, writes Zach, that my 20-ounce Coke evaporated to a legal 16-ounce volume. And Mark writes, it's so hot that Mayor Bloomberg may run for a fourth term so he can add mandatory nutritional labeling to thermometers. So that's one emerging theme. Tweet us something related or unrelated. How hot is it? Use the hashtag, it's so hot that. It's so hot that. And tweet it at Brian Lehrer. But today's show has already included two segments, as I was saying, about understanding and respecting the other side's politics in a polarized world. Amy Gutman and Dennis Thompson on the earnest track last hour, Michael Ian Black and Meghan McCain on the more ridiculous track just now. But seriously, I thought you could complete the thought with a call-in about things you have come to understand about the other's political side. Who has one? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Are you liberal on gun control but have come to get why people are fanatical about the Second Amendment? That's kind of one of the things Michael Ian Black was just talking about. Are you conservative but you get and respect why liberals want single-payer health insurance? 212-433-WNYC. Are you a Tea Partier at heart, but you get and respect the Occupy movement? Are you an environmentalist, but you've come to understand why so many business people hate the EPA? 212-433-9692. The idea here is to take a break from the usual seething at the other side and speak some words right out loud on the public airwaves about what you understand is at the heart of why people feel differently from the way you do about something. Not about everything. One thing is fine. Do we have maybe five people who can do this for a short call-in segment? Or is even that too much open-mindedness to hope for in a raw election year during hard times? It's a call-in with things you have come to understand and respect, even if not agree with, about someone else's political side. 212-433-9692. Anina at NYU is going to start us off on this. Hi, Anina. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Oh, thank you for wanting me to talk. My thing is that I understand. I'm in favor of a woman's right to choose regarding abortion and regarding reproductive rights. And I think I understand many of where other people are coming from on the other side.
Mm-hmm. And you want to articulate? Yeah, turn off your radio. I think it's making you confused.
So I thought it was quiet enough.
Go ahead and articulate it just a little bit.
Okay. And I don't want to say that this started it, but way back in high school, Mr. McDermott, who was lefty on everything but that, used to feel that the left was wrong about that. But modern times, because mm-hmm. that was a long time ago, I feel like if it's viewed as murder, as it is by most on the other side, you have to be opposed to it. There's no question about that. It's now whether they should go as far as bomb abortion clinics.
No.
Well, that scares the crap out of me. But I do understand mm-hmm. that if in your view it's murder of a human being, you absolutely would have to oppose it.
Be very militant
about it. And vehemently so.
Yes. Anita, thank you very much. Good start. William in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, William.
Hi. I moved to Argentina several years ago. I'm from the States. I consider myself firmly liberal or left-leaning, perhaps even to the left of Obama. And I find myself in Argentina. I'm not calling from there now. I'm back in New York. Mm-hmm. But I find myself when I'm in Argentina defending things that I wouldn't defend up here, specifically on economic issues. I've come to appreciate a certain way of looking at the free market and the ability of people to start businesses and live their lives in peace without government regulation. And I still think that, you know, the SEC should have done its job in 2008, and I still think that there's a role for the state in all kinds of things like, you know, healthcare and economic regulations. But living in a context in which the state is just so overwhelmingly controlling of all economic levels, at all economic levels, I find myself arguing on the other side of the spectrum.
Really interesting. William, thank you very much. Iman in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome, Brian.
And?
I'm a Palestinian American, and I've come to understand through being in a Palestinian-Israeli dialogue group the feelings of many Israelis and the fear of many Israelis and why they so badly want an Israeli state. And I don't agree with everything they say, but I hear them when they're speaking and I empathize. And I think it's because I've come to, you know, I've gotten very close to some of these friends in my dialogue
as
group.
As individual
and,
human beings. Can you articulate it a little bit, that feeling that you now understand?
Yeah, I think it's, I experienced a lot of violence as a Palestinian when I lived there, but I never saw the violence directed at Israelis. And so I can't forget my experiences, and they're, you know, very traumatic. I was shot at by Israeli soldiers. My sister was shot in the back by Israeli soldiers. Mm. But I now hear from my friends who say things like, my friends were on a bus when a suicide bomber blew up the bus. And no matter how much I want to say, well, how about my people? How about the suffering of the people in the refugee camps? I hear them now. Whereas before, I used to just sort of be able to tune them out and focus on the suffering of my people. I still feel for my people, and I want very much for Palestinian equality and freedom to exist. But I would like us to coexist.
Thank you very much. Beautifully articulated. Aiden in Lindenhurst, you're on WNYC.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm a liberal and a very strong believer in First Amendment rights, but I also have some beliefs in gun control, and I just couldn't understand why conservatives are so against gun control. But I started to think about how I believe so strongly in the First Amendment, and that, you know, making exceptions can is a very slippery road. And while I don't, I haven't changed my opinion on gun control, I do understand why conservatives are against it now.
And can you put it into a few words?
It's, I'm against censorship because I support the First Amendment, and I understand why they're against gun control because they support the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Aiden, thank you very much. Bernadette in Weehawken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bernadette.
Yes, hi. Love your show. I'm in a family business where I travel a lot from Maine to Ohio to the Carolinas and Florida, and I'm a Democrat, but I see the point of view of the more conservatives that, and I believe in the social safety net, especially in Medicare and all of that, but I see the Republican point of view about the culture of this dependency, you know, especially with benefits more for younger people, or maybe people not, you know, having families and, you know, just depending on the things, you know, having children without,
you know, and taking a lot of social benefits. I believe it fosters a culture of dependency. I can see the Republican point of view on things like that. I'm more concerned about keeping Medicare and things for the elderly in place with my Democratic beliefs. And I hope that's making sense.
It is making sense. Bernadette, thank you very much. We're taking your calls on things you get and respect about people who politically disagree with you. 212-433-WNYC. Completing a thought that's run through today's show, really, with two different pairings of guests on compromise and finding political common ground with somebody who's politically other. It's a call-in about things you have come to at least understand and get about the other political side, even if you don't agree. 212-433-9692. And Alex in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Brian. Love the show.
Thank you.
I guess what I would say is I'm fairly moderate, but what I understand really and what I've come to understand is the real need to rein in spending that a lot of conservatives espouse. But I guess what I would say is that, you know, I don't agree with, you know, reining in spending to the extent that it starves the whole system and, you know, cutting taxes to the point where we don't have enough to pay for essential, you know, services that the government should provide.
So you understand the need to rein in spending, but not by starving the tax base altogether. Are you learning a lesson from Greece that changes you in either direction?
I think Greece is exactly the example that drives it home, where you have, you know, the top income earners paying virtually nothing into the system, and look where it's gotten us.
Alex, thanks for your call. Tim in Manasquan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi, I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a pretty dyed-in-the-wool liberal, and a friend of mine is a libertarian, and my understanding of libertarianism was always that it was pretty classist and racist, and it was and my kind of generalization about them was that they're more interested in keeping their own money, what they deem their own money, than anything else. But through our dialogues on Facebook, I've come to understand more that their concern is for their own personal freedoms, and they don't want them ripped away from by the government. I understand that. I don't necessarily agree with it because some of the issues about inoculation and getting children shots in order to go to public school and raw milk and other issues like that. I understand where they're coming from. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's taken me a while to kind of get to not just simply recoil from those ideas and a knee-jerk reaction. And understand where they're coming from, I guess.
Nice, Tim. Thank you very much. And Alyssa in Middletown. Is that Middletown, New York, Middletown, New Jersey, or Middletown, Connecticut?
Middletown, New Jersey.
Thanks for calling.
Well, Brian, thanks. I don't know if other people have this experience, but sometimes I get forwarded emails from family members that don't quite share the same views or politics than I do. Usually they're more conservative than I am. And so yesterday I took the opportunity to reply to one of these, whereas normally I just throw them in the trash, in my email trash. And I actually got a response from the original person who forwarded the email. It was about the Michigan State professor back in 2006 who wrote to the Muslim Student Union telling them all to go home. So it was old news. But the forwarder, a guy in Florida, was upset that his professors at school were espousing their views about politics. And he was happy that the university at Michigan State supported the professor. Well, I did a little bit of research and found out that he was not supported. He was admonished, although he was not fired. So I wrote back to him, and we had a long dialogue about what the parameters for free speech should be at a university. And I actually came away feeling, not that we had understood each other, but at least I had a chance to express my view, and he had a chance to express his.
It's pretty rare, isn't it? That people even engage like that. and do it in that kind of a respectful way. And here it sounds like with a perfect stranger from a, you know, an unsolicited email. Was it a unique experience?
It was, in that I was expecting something much more vitriolic from anybody who didn't agree with me. And this person actually took time to express his opinion to me, and I could see where he was coming from, having spent a lot of time at universities. Mm-hmm. And you know, even though I didn't agree with the gist of the email, at least I could see where he was coming from.
Right. Alyssa, thank you very much. And that's something we probably could all do a lot more of in our lives. It's probably something that a lot of people around the country could do a lot more of, and that's why we do call-ins like this on this show from time to time, like the one that's now over, about things that you have come to understand and respect, even if you don't agree with them, about people on another political side from you. Thank you for it. We could have kept doing this, too. So certainly in this audience, there are people who really want to listen. Thanks a lot for doing this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a new documentary about sexual assault in the military. It may be more common than we would like to believe. Can women in uniform find justice in that male-dominated culture? Stay with us.